grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from our epistle reading, from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter, where he writes, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly, as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved." And today we speak of hope. Brothers and sisters in Christ, where do you look for hope? Well, I'll tell you one place you probably don't look. The evening news. There's not a lot of hope in the evening news. There's lots of news about conflict, about race, masks, policing, about crime and pandemics. There's lots of news about viruses and death, but not much hope. And whatever hope there is, we kind of doubt there, because it seems like they say one guy will have a solution or not. And we're pretty sure they don't. It seems that watching the news is actually associated with depression, because there just isn't a lot of hope there. In fact, sometimes you watch the news and say it doesn't seem like things could get much worse. You might get depressed. And we might think that this is new, that things are worse than they've ever been, but it's not new. Creation has been in bondage to decay. Paul talks about this in our text. He says that creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but by the will of him who subjected it. Creation bears witness to the need for redemption in its groanings, in its stirrings, in its pains. It points out the need for hope. It might point out the need for hope, but it can't give it of itself, because it has no hope to give. Now, I suppose it's not that surprising that watching the news about what's going on in the world, in creation, that it's associated with depression, because that hope is not a feature of the news. They focus on what's wrong. And we'd say that's a bad place to look for hope. But other stuff is associated with depression too, not just the news. A lot of time on Facebook, that's also associated with depression. And that might seem a little odd, because after all, Facebook normally has happier stories. Sometimes people sharing pictures of cats shows people enjoying life. And yet, it also is associated with depression. And maybe that points out that maybe the news and maybe Facebook, maybe they're not actually the cause of depression. Maybe they're just sought out by people who don't really have any hope in their lives, who are looking for hope out there somewhere. And so they turn on the TV, or they turn on the computer, looking for hope, but they can't find it. Our world is confused. It knows there's a problem. In fact, lots of problems. But it has no hope to find. So it keeps calling things hope that aren't really any hope. It says, well, maybe if we could fix nature. If nature were fixed, we might recover it. We might have hope. And suddenly it personifies nature as some sort of goddess who might have sent us to our rooms, like someone quoted. Some Gaia that we can appease. But that's not nature. That's not creation. Nature, since the fall, seems to be about the strong eating the weak, that flies get eaten by spiders, that are eaten by birds, that are eaten by cats, and so on up the line. That's what we see in nature. We might take comfort that we're kind of on top of the food chain, but as we've learned recently, the viruses and bacteria, they can be surprisingly strong. And we can put a pretty face on it and say, well, Mother Nature has just put us in time out for a while, or we could put another pretty face on it and call it the circle of life, but that's just trying to make a bad situation, the pains that nature shows us, the pains of creation, trying to make them look good. Because we might call it a circle of life, but if we're honest, we'd say, well, no, actually it's a circle of death. And it has been. That there's pain and groaning and death, but no hope in creation. And so it has been. Adam was given dominion over the earth, over creation. And so when he sinned, when he tried to be God, wanted to be like God and ate the fruit that Eve gave him, his futility as God, well, that got reflected in the earth, that brought forth weeds and thorns. And when Cain killed Abel, the earth was there and it opened its mouth to receive Abel's blood. It's really no wonder that many around the world say that the earth would be better off without us. But that's not at all what God had planned. That's not at all what he does have planned. The present sufferings, the groanings of creation, they might be caused by man's dominion since man fell into sin. But they're not solved by the removal of man, nor the removal of his dominion. Instead, they are resolved by man's redemption. You know, there's a sting, particularly when I was young. I hated it when I skinned my knee and my mom wanted to put alcohol on it. There's quite a bit of a sting when you skin your knee and you try to clean the wound with alcohol. But that's a good pain. If there is a sting, that probably means that things are going to get better, that the alcohol has done its work. That there will be healing, because the healing won't come without some pain. We see that problem today when people who can't feel their extremities suddenly find that they might lose them, where a diabetic comes in because their foot's not quite working right and the doctor says there's a nail in it that they couldn't feel. And it might not be causing them all the pain it could. You'd think you could tell if there was a nail in your foot. But it would be better if it were causing them a lot more pain. It allowed them to take it in, to get it fixed, to get it cleaned, to get the nail taken out, to prevent infection. They and their foot might be saved if they could feel. In the pain, God brings healing. So it is that even creation cries out for the sons of God to be revealed. For the cause of suffering, for that causes sin to be removed. The hope of the world is not some green revolution. It's the redemption of man. And this God begins in Jesus. The man who did not see decay. The man who was raised up from the dead. The man who sits at the right hand of God, that Son of God. That's hope. That's our hope. It is in the gifts of forgiveness that removes the decay of sin that Christ won on the cross. That's hope. It's the distribution of that forgiveness and that life through water and the Word to the many sons of God. That is hope. The beginning of hope, where we see that we've been buried with Him, with Christ, that we may hope to rise in Him. It is the first fruits that we have even now, the Spirit that lives in us and shows us that we live. That is the beginning of hope. And it is our communion with God and that Spirit who cries out with cries too deep for words. That is hope because it promises more. It promises that He who has begun this work in us will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He will raise our bodies to be like His glorious body, that we will live with Him forever. That is hope. And that is hope for us, and that is hope for creation. We don't yet have the final completion of our hope. Like a birthday, how much hope there is as a birthday approaches and a child sees invitations being made and sent out, presents being wrapped, cakes being decorated. And they get so anxious and so eager for that day that it almost hurts to wait. To not say, let's open a present now. Let's taste the cake now. But that wait, it might hurt, but it's not in vain. The wait's worth it. And that's for a day, which on the next, it's nothing more than crumbs and torn wrapping paper and maybe presents broken already. That it was worth the wait. How much more? How much better? The day of our redemption, when Christ comes again and takes us to be with Him, raises our body that will never see decay, and keeps us in communion with Him and the Father and the Spirit forever. That is our hope. Go ahead and watch the news. Go ahead and log on to Facebook. Go ahead and look at the fields and at creation. You won't find your hope there, but you will see the need for hope. You'll see a world that God is redeeming and is going to complete the redemption of. See the world groans and give that redemption where you can. Proclaim Christ. See that the world groans, but that when Christ is given and there is hope, it is not just a groan in pain, but a groan of anticipation. That God is working His redemption of us, and He is working the redemption of the world through us as He brings many sons to glory and brings all creation to share in the glory of a new world where we live with God. We have hope. So wait in hope as you share that hope with each other in a world that needs it. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.